Before we begin today's podcast, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Covaris. Covaris is reinventing what you expect from a medical professional liability provider. By leveraging claims data and analytics, Covaris is helping doctors and administrators reduce distractions and focus on improving outcomes. Learn more at covaris.com/focus.
Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. Alexa D. Kimball, President of Physician Performance, LLC, and CEO of Harvard Medical Faculty Physicians at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. She also serves as a professor of dermatology at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Kimball, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background before we dive into our discussion?
Sure, and thanks for inviting me here today. So I'm obviously a physician and a dermatologist by training, but early on in my career, I started to work in terms of studying the physician workforce, as well as doing clinical trials to create new therapies. Those experiences were really formative in helping me think about how do we measure things, how do we create teams, how do we deal with error, and how do we improve the health of the populations. And over time led me into more administrative roles. I do continue to still see patients and do a little bit of research, and it makes me better at my day job to do all three. Keeps me posted on what patients are thinking about and what our physicians are thinking about as well.
That's fantastic. We're really excited to have you here today, and I know we'll be touching on several different topics, so I'm looking forward to it. The first question I have for you is, what initiatives are you most proud of that your team has been involved in this year?
Well, like everyone, we've had to manage COVID-19 and its effects. My group is about 2,000 physicians and providers here in Eastern Massachusetts. And as Boston moved into the pandemic, we needed to tackle three things in very short order. The first major thing was, of course, the clinical crisis, which was figuring out how did we reshape our hospital, our physicians, and our teams to be able to take care of the surge that happened here in April. That came with all sorts of innovation and energy and exhaustion, I would say, but I'm really proud of the work that we did taking care of hundreds of incredibly ill ICU patients and hospitalized patients during that time. But we also had to do things in parallel, one of which was to put together a telehealth program essentially in less than a week, in order to manage the patients who weren't going to be able to come in and see us. And then we had to pivot really quickly to figure out how to manage the financial gap that presented very early as we closed things down abruptly. The teams were incredible. The city of Boston has been incredible. And we've come out of this in a way that I think we can be really proud of. I hope we don't have to do it again, but we feel well prepared if we do have to do some of these drastic things again.
Got it. I know ideally we won't have to have another surge, but you can never tell exactly what's going to happen in the future. How are your IT teams in particular preparing for the next 12 months?
Well, my team is small but nimble, and I would say they had actually just gone through a number of really important implementations for us. So, they were very well versed in kind of the different elements that we needed to do to move things quickly and effectively through. The first thing, of course, we have to do is get telehealth right. I think what the pandemic has taught us is that it was really more about the regulatory environment and the financial environment, not the technology, that was the major limitation in acceptance. That said, the technology still needs to be improved. And, you know, there are connectivity issues. There are issues around how do you bring in interpreters? How do we bring in medical students? How do we bring in family members? How do we make it logistically more straightforward for people? So those are key things that the teams are working on right now. I will say parenthetically, we're also really worried about whether the financial reimbursement for some of these things will decline, especially for telephone visits, because of the underserved populations who seem better served in some cases by telephone than video. So that is something we worry about. The other two things that the IT teams are thinking about are obviously working from home. So we have moved administrative staff home, but we've also moved physicians home who now are maybe doing telehealth from home, trying to do research from home and other things. you know, everyone who is an employer is thinking about some of these things and when do we bring people back and how and what do we need to do that. But figuring out how to best support people in those environments and for things that are highly confidential, right, which we often have in healthcare, how do we protect all of that as well? And then I think the third major issue is the patient experience in all of this, which is we have let a thousand flowers bloom as we have attempted to provide care and new resources and options for people, but it is still, I think, reasonably fragmented feeling from a patient standpoint. And we need to figure out how to consolidate how we deliver our care in a way that seems more coordinated and comprehensive, whether it's everything from, you know, billing statements to how do I look at my scheduled appointments and how is telehealth displayed versus other things. So that's a bit of a longer term goal, but we really need to be thinking about it as we refine our current platforms too.
Thank you so much for going through all that with us. I think that's really helpful to understand what you're thinking about for the next year or so. I know you outlined a few challenges in that response. What do you think is your biggest challenge next year, and how are you troubleshooting that currently?
So the biggest challenge, I think, is managing nimbly in this incredibly dynamic environment where things can change hour to hour, day to day, but also making sure we don't lose core focus on the things we were working on before that really needed to be done and the new things that have come up. So crises are clarifying, right? It was very clear in March and April what we needed to work on. And then as we returned to work in new and still changing environments, it was even more complicated. And so it's really about, I think, identifying the goals and vision and then making sure we're prioritizing correctly to really get things done, still keeping in mind that the patients and the physicians are at the center of everything we're trying to do.
Got it. That makes sense. What do you expect from artificial intelligence in healthcare over the next 1 to 5 years?
So I'm a little bit of a contrarian around AI, and we'll see if history bears me right. But, you know, I think like some other things we've seen historically, like, for example, pharmacogenomics, AI and the management of big data and predictive data has some absolutely interesting and fascinating ways that it can help us. But I think the first use case people reach for sometimes is around diagnosis. And that's actually where AI, I think, is not as well suited for what physicians do on a daily basis. When AI looks through a number of factors and says, here's things you should consider for your diagnosis, common things are still common. And so most of the time, in my experience, AI tells you is something you probably already had thought of and already knew. And it reinforces thinking about the common things, actually, in some ways, without expanding your mind to consider things that might be different or unusual. And it's sort of a confirmation bias that sometimes happens. So I'm less sanguine about AI for diagnostic things. Where I think it is incredibly powerful and potentially helpful is around predictions of trends. Which way are things going and how do we prepare then and manage those? Now, there's still a limitation, which is if you don't have interventions that can actually change that pattern, there's not much you can do. But where you can, for example, and I think tracking, you know, the pandemic has been a great example of if we can see things early, whether it's cell phone data or other movements that help us predict what might happen next, we can be better prepared to manage it. So those are the kinds of things that I think it's likely to be best suited for. And, you know, we'll see how some of these other things in diagnosis, whether it's EKGs or looking at moles, turn out. But I would keep my focus on the former rather than the latter.
That's fascinating to hear. And this has been a great discussion. Before we close out, I have one more question for you. What types of conversations are inspiring or exciting you today?
Well, I'm an optimist and pretty action-oriented. So what I'm excited about thinking about is what things have come from COVID that we really want to keep, right? There are some good things that have happened. We have learned that we can have a much more flexible work schedule, workplace. We don't need buildings and parking lots nearly to the extent that we used to. So how do we take the flexibility that's inherent in that and build careers and work environments for the the physicians and for our patients that are really better suited to them. But at the same time, how do we make sure we keep that personal connection that is so important? I returned to seeing patients a couple months ago, and I will say I really missed them. So it was great to be back and be in, you know, a real person environment, really helping people face-to-face, masks on, of course, but that did feel different. So that's what's, I think, most engaging for me is what do we take from this that we can learn and make better and make sure that we continue to be grateful and cognizant of, you know, the things we want to keep.
Dr. Kimball, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to continuing our conversation in the future.
Great. Thanks. My pleasure.